Hi, this is Chris Comer for Local Exposure. Today we're going to talk to internationally acclaimed jazz trumpeter John Faddis. John Faddis is in Cincinnati to be one of the judges in the 2013 Carmine Caruso International Jazz and Trumpet Solo Competition, sponsored by the Herb Albert Foundation, taking place at CCM on the campus of the University of Cincinnati. You should be pretty excited coming to Cincinnati because the Carmine Caruso International Jazz and Trumpet Solo Competition is bringing out some of the finest trumpet players around jazz these days.
Definitely. And I'm looking forward to hearing, I think there are five trumpet players, so I'm looking forward to hearing. And then I get a chance to hang out with some colleagues that I haven't seen in a while, Bobby Shue and Byron Stripling.
Now, how did you get involved and how did you get to be chosen as a judge?
I used to be on the board of the International Trumpet Guild, but I'm not sure if that had anything to do with my becoming a judge. From the looks of the other two judges and myself, I think they wanted some big guys to come out there and judge.
Without giving too much away to the contestants in case they're listening, what are you looking for in a young jazz trumpet player?
Well, I would say first, execution on the instrument, mastery of the instrument, intonation, sound, and creativity.
Sounds like there's a fine line between technique and soul.
There always is, always has been. You know, I remember riding on an airplane back from Europe with sitting next to Al Cohn, the great tenor saxophonist and arranger. And he's famous for his one-liner of, yeah, I play giant steps, but I play my own changes. But one of the things that he mentioned is to have technique and not use it, that's the hard part.
I've heard some people say that the way to become a great jazz artist is to learn more technique on your instrument than anyone ever has before, and then you have to forget it all.
I don't know about learning more technique than anyone has before, but I know that Dizzy used to say when he was in his 70s, I'm learning what not to play. One learns how to edit oneself the older they get. Especially with trumpet players, you listen to people like Louis Armstrong or Doc Cheatham or Roy Eldridge or Dizzy or Miles, and what they did playing-wise and editorializing, their style is a little bit different than what the way they played when they're 20 years old in their 20s and things like that.
Briefly, give us a little idea what your interpretation is of the evolution of jazz trumpet over the years, not going way, way back, but since maybe Louis Armstrong in the old days of Dixieland and early swing, all the way up through the years to Miles and Freddie Hubbard and then yourself. How has the trumpet playing in jazz changed over the years, and how's it changed for the better?
That's a toughie, because I don't know that it's gotten better than Louis Armstrong. So you can start right there. It's changed, but he's at the top. Louis Armstrong, Dix. You have all those trumpet players that were playing with Duke Ellington's band, Bubba Miley, Cootie Williams, Rex Stewart, even our good friend Clark Terry, who's still around. You know, Shorty Baker. You got all these cats playing with Basie's band, Sweets, Buck Clayton, Little Bobby Moore, who's someone that nobody knows about, Snooky Young. Oh, my goodness. You have somebody who is a big star in Hollywood, Harry James, and we're still in the 30s. Roy Eldridge, King, and then we get into Dizzy and Fats, Red Rodney, and Little Benny Harris, Miles, Clifford Brown, Donald Byrd, Freddie Hubbard, Lee Morgan, Woody Shaw, Booker Little, the list goes on and on. But I think one thing that has happened, you know, you hear a lot of young kids now that have tremendous technique, I think. Generation to generation, each succeeding generation has better technique and hopefully it's learned from the previous generations, because that's how you learn. That's how this music developed and grew. It's Dizzy checked out Roy Eldridge, who checked out Louis Armstrong, along with Benny Carter and Coleman Hawkins and his brother Joe. Louis Armstrong checked out King Oliver. Bunk Johnson says he taught Louis Armstrong, but I think it's for the development of trumpet technique. There are a lot of young kids who have more technique than let's say somebody like Billy Butterfield. I'll just pick a name out of a hat. You know, one of the beautiful ballad players, Billy Butterfield. But as you mentioned before, there's a line between the technique and the soul. So what I personally look for, and I'm hoping to hear at this competition, is trumpet players with a lot of soul. And then if they miss notes or it's a little bit out of tune, that doesn't bother me if the feeling is there. And that's just my take on it. You know, the other judges may feel differently.
I want to talk for a second about the future of jazz. It seems like ever since, you could draw the line roughly somewhere in the early 70s, developments moving jazz forward have slowed down and more traditionalists have taken over. Whether you're Wynton Marsalis playing a traditional style, or whether you're the Keith Jarrett trio on ECM, or whether you're like some of these Chicago guys like Ken Vandermark, you're still playing free music, but it's still a little out of date. What's the new developments in jazz, and are things moving along?
Yeah, of course. Things are always moving along and changing because we as individuals are always changing. That's a given. I think, you know, in my travels, running into people from Norway that are really playing some great jazz that's a little bit different, or in the Middle East, Lebanese trumpet players playing these four-valve trumpets and playing these Middle Eastern tunes, and that being combined with jazz, I think is, well, let me just say this, it's something that has created a large controversy, because sometimes people think when jazz blends with other forms, it mixes with other forms, it gets diluted. But I don't think that's necessarily the case, is evidenced by Dizzy's collaborations with Chano Pozo and Afro-Cuban jazz, what Bird did with Chico O'Farrell, and then what Stan Getz, Diz did with Brazilian music. Even the fusion music is something that, for its time, it was happening. So I think that jazz is going to continue to embrace other musics, other folk musics from other cultures. And maybe one day it'll all come back into the umbrella that says jazz.
Does that include hip-hop, even though it's already 2013 and hip-hop is already about 30 years old?
It could. I would say this, Quincy Jones believes very strongly in hip hop and its validity as a music. But I've talked to other jazz musicians who, you know, would argue that jazz has to have melody as well, not just rhythm. Clark Harry says the hip hop stuff that they're doing and the rhyme and slang and all that, he was doing that when he was a kid.
Thanks for talking to us, John Faddis, internationally known jazz trumpet player. There's going to be a big gala concert at 8 o'clock Saturday night at CCM. You're going to perform in that, aren't you?
I will be performing in that.
Along with some of the students who are competing.
And the other judges. And I think it's going to be a fun night. If you're into trumpets,
all right,
you don't want to miss it.
All right, terrific. Thank you to John Faddis for taking the time to talk to us today. John's going to be in town this weekend as one of the judges for the 2013 Carmine Caruso International Jazz and Trumpet Solo Competition at the University of Cincinnati. The competition's final round will take place at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, September 14th at CCM's Corbett Auditorium. All events are free and open to the public. For Local Exposure, I'm Chris Comer.